Now, as we continue our journey through the Bible, we're going to look today at the book of Deuteronomy, the last book written by Moses. And we will read from chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. Hear now the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we do ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, the promise that you give us, Holy Spirit, that you will counsel us on the word of God. That in and through our imperfect minds, you will make his word perfect to our hearts. That we may hear the word of the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I did kind of an experiment. Maybe that's a wrong word. But you've all heard of the initials WWJD, right? And that means what? What would Jesus do? I really tried, from the time I got up till the time I went to bed, to do that. I prayed about it. I asked God to keep that constantly on my mind and let me know, Lord, from the time I get up, what would Jesus do? And I was able to do that. The first day I was able to do that, as much as I could remember the WWJD, I tried. And the one thing that I found out is that it's kind of discouraging. That there's so many things that Jesus would have done instead of what I did or didn't do that was a real testimony and testament to the holiness of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is holy. We are called out as a holy people, to reflect Jesus Christ and be holy. And it is hard to do on a consistent basis. Kind of like, what would Jesus do when he gets up in the morning? I mean, since he is the Word of God, he knows the Word of God, he would be praying to his Father immediately. Reading the Word of God, which he would know anyway. He would get out and perhaps eat a meal of breakfast or whatever and go about his business loving others and loving God. He would go out of his way to be with others. He would go out of his way to share the good news of the kingdom of God with others. He would go out of his way to give food to the hungry and water to the thirsty. To be kind and good and loving and generous and compassionate. It was eye-opening to me, once again, of where I am and how far, I can't put my hand up through the roof, through the sky, through the moon, out of our solar system, from where I am and where I need to be in that perfect holiness in Jesus. Now you wonder, well, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about, and what's that have to do with Deuteronomy? It has everything to do with Deuteronomy. We're doing this Bible study. Do you all have the notes? And if you can follow along on the notes a little bit. We've been studying the Bible, you know, as you know, from every book. We started in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Now we're at Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the books that Moses wrote. And we're at the last book of that. In Genesis, we learned about the grace and mercy of God. We learned that God provides, as He did for Adam and Eve, as He did for Abraham and Isaac, as He did for Joseph. We learn that God promises that the father of faith, Abraham, would have descendants like the stars in the sky. In Exodus, we learn that God delivers, that He sets us free, that He redeems us, and He gives us His laws of holiness. In Leviticus, we expand on those laws, and Leviticus is basically the rules for holy living. And we get to the book of Numbers, and you watch Israel in motion going to the promised land, and see they can't even be obedient to that, to go into a land that God promised. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years, disobedient in one trial after another. In Deuteronomy, we have Moses' last sermons to his people, last talk to his people. And really throughout it, Deuteronomy is about loving the Lord your God and obeying. So in Exodus, Moses receives the Ten Commandments. In Leviticus, he receives detailed instruction on holiness or how God's people are to behave. Leviticus taught us how the people are to live holy, and then we get to Numbers that shows us unholy behavior, their failure to obey God in faith. Shows us that there are consequences for disobedience. Deuteronomy shows us, in Moses' last word to the people, to love God and obey His commandments. We have the Greek word Deuteronomy, which means second law or repetition of the law, which it really is, as you'll see. The highlights and themes of Deuteronomy run like this. It locates Moses and the Israelites now after 40 years in the desert. They're outside to the east of the Jordan River, looking over from Mount Pisgah in that area to see the promised land. It's territory of Moab. The entire book of Deuteronomy is probably done in one whole day. It's basically three sermons that Moses has to the people of Israel. His sort of farewell addresses before the people entered the promised land. And so you have a whole new generation of Israel. They wandered 40 years in the desert, and that generation passed, and the new generation of Israel renewed the covenant with God on the outskirts of the Jordan River before entering the promised land. And Moses clearly, in chapters 27 and 28, it's kind of interesting, he outlines the blessings that they will have if they follow God and obey His commands, and the curses that they will have if they don't. We talked a little bit about that last week, where we said that following God's commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, as Jesus said, that if you obey the commandments and you don't kill anybody and you don't steal from people and you don't lie about people and so forth and commit adultery and covet other people's things and those sorts of things, and that generally speaking, you'll have a decent life. If you do the opposite of those things, you probably end up in jail, right? Israel is to have a special relationship with God as His people. That's Moses' counsel to the Israelites. There's the messianic verse in chapter 18 where there's the promise of a prophet like Moses, who would then be Christ. We see this in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, and Acts chapter 7, verse 37. And as his final act at this important time, leadership's transferred to Joshua at the very end in chapter 34. And in contrast to what we have read in Leviticus and Numbers, which are kind of really hard books to read, you know, consumed in this priestly stuff and this real intricate details of the law and what we're to do and sacrifices and the various types of sacrifices and where and how and what we're to do in that regard. Deuteronomy is more heartfelt. It really is more like sermons that Moses is giving the people, coming from his heart of this is what you need to be about. This is what you need to do. Jesus used Deuteronomy. Remember when Jesus was baptized, he went into the desert for 40 days and he was tempted by the devil. Jesus answered him from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God," from Deuteronomy 6:10. Jesus told Satan that you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him only, Deuteronomy 6:13. Jesus answered Satan in Matthew 4:4, that man shall not live by bread alone. And in fact, Deuteronomy is one of the most quoted Old Testament books in the Gospels. So there's something special about this book of Deuteronomy. It caps off the first four books. And a real basic outline of Deuteronomy is that Moses' first address is in chapter 1 through chapter 4. His second sermon is from chapter 4 to 26, rather a lengthy one. His third address is renewing the covenant at Moab, in chapters 29 and 30. And then there's concluding events in 31 and 34, this transfer of leadership to Joshua, the future reading of the law and what Moses tells the people to do, the song of Moses that they're to remember, and the final events of Moses' life. But the overall theme of Deuteronomy, the overall overarching theme of Deuteronomy is to love the Lord your God and obey his commandments. So after all of this time, for Moses being raised and going down the river, being taken up by Pharaoh's daughter, being raised in Pharaoh's house for 40 years, marching across the desert in fear of his life, going to the Midianites, marrying, having a couple children, 40 years after that, while he's 80 years old, he sees the burning bush on top of Mount Sinai. He hears God tell him to go free my people. He's 80 years old. He goes into Egypt, exhorts Pharaoh to free the people. There's all these miraculous events occur. They finally go into the desert. They go to Mount Sinai, receive the Ten Commandments, then go to Kadesh outside of the Promised Land. They disobey God. They wander the desert for 40 years in disobedience, one right after another. Even Moses was disobedient, wasn't allowed to enter the Promised Land. And so now here we are at the edge of the Promised Land. And Moses is giving his overall address to the people, his sermons to the people, the last thing he will do before he dies. And the interesting thing about Deuteronomy is there are 72 exhortations in Deuteronomy about observing or obeying or keeping God's commands. Be careful to observe, be careful to obey, be careful to keep. You see, time and time and time again, in Deuteronomy 11, 22 is an example. For if you are careful to keep all this commandment which I am commanding you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and hold fast to him. And there are also 10 exhortations to love God. In chapter 5 and 6 and 7 and 10, 11, 13, 19, 30. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, Moses tells the people that, "Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live." In chapter 10 and chapter 30, Moses writes of the true believer. This is an important point. I really want you to get this. Moses writes that the true believer is not one who has the sign of circumcision, as was the sign of the covenant, was the males being circumcised. It wasn't a fleshly sign. that made you an authentic child of God. It was the circumcision of your heart. It was true belief in God that made you a child of God. It was the same back then as it is today. There's no difference. When we look at our scripture passage today, right before chapter 6 of which we read, in chapter 5, Moses goes over the Ten Commandments again. And you all know the Ten Commandments. Number one is what? You shall have no other gods before me, right? Number two is do not worship idols, right? Number three, we're never to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Number four, we're to keep holy the Sabbath. When Jesus was asked in Matthew, what is the greatest commandment? He referred back to this part of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first part. The first four commandments are all about loving God. The next six commandments are what we do to one another. We're supposed to honor our father and mother. We're not supposed to murder, right? Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie, ninth commandment. And the tenth one, it's a very interesting commandment, do not covet. The tenth one isn't something that is done physically, as in murdering, as in committing adultery, as in stealing or lying. The tenth commandment is something that starts in your heart, is something inside of you. In other words, you have to violate the tenth commandment before you violate the other nine, actually. You're coveting in your heart certain particular things, and then you're putting them into action by having other gods, by worshiping idols, taking the name of the Lord our God in vain, not keeping the Sabbath, all of those things. It starts in the mind. So as in our example, it's kind of not what would Jesus do. I guess it's really what would Jesus think. That's where it starts. And in this chapter 5, there's a promise. As we go into chapter 6 and verse 3, do these things that it may be well with you. It's at this point we get to our scripture verse today. The scripture verse today is in practicing Orthodox Jews say twice a day, and they recite this also at their Sabbath service. It's called the Shema. The Shema is chapter 6, verse 4. It's, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Put in there the Hebrew writing. Kind of hard to read, but there's a point I want to make about this. How it would be said and how it is said at every Sabbath service is they sing it, and it's Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elhenu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And what Moses is saying here in this verse is, listen up, Israel, this is important. Hear, Shema Yisrael, hear. Who is God? Who is God? It is the Lord. You know, we talked about this before. The Lord, spelled in capital letters in your Bible, is the holy name of God given to Moses, which is Yahweh, the tetragrammaton. And if you look above and you look in the Hebrew writing and you see the underlined words, that's Yahweh. In Hebrew, or we don't know how it was really pronounced, but something like that. It's a name too holy to even utter. And so the Jews in the text, when you see the word Lord spelled in capital letters, they substitute that with Adonai, which means Lord. In other words, you have one master to please, one benefactor to seek, the Lord your God, who is one. And it's interesting that you have, hear, O Israel, the Lord, one, is our God, two, the Lord is one, mentioned three times, talking about one God. After the Shema, we have the first commandment. The first commandment is relationship-oriented, and that's, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, all your strength. The verb ahav, love, means an all-inclusive action. It's a verb. It's something you're to do, that you're to act upon. Love God with all your heart, with all truth, with integrity, with everything in your internal physical nature, with all of your heart. And you notice in this threefold thing of loving with your heart, your soul, and your strength, does not say love God with your tongue. Saying it on the tip of your tongue and not having it in here is meaningless. Love God with all of your soul, it says, your whole being, Moses is telling them. Not one, only your body, your flesh, but within the inner sanctum of your very being, of your very existence, you're to love God with all of your soul. You're to love God with all of your might, with all of your strength. In other words, put those things into action. All of those things that you love God in heart and soul, and how you do that, exercise them. In Deuteronomy 6:6, keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. You see, your willingness to keep God's commandment has to be deep in you. This is not a surfacey thing. This is not the eggshell of life. This is what's inside. A part of your very being, part of your whole way of life. That's what Moses is telling us. In everything you do. What Moses is pushing, we've had all these laws, the Ten Commandments. He just got done saying the Ten Commandments. He goes through in chapters, the second sermon that he does, a whole list and line of different commandments. But here he's making certain that the people understand that it isn't legalism, it isn't obeying these things out of duty that's important. It's wanting to please your Father out of respect and love, and thus be obedience. And so now Scripture moves from loving God to being obedient to God. And the love of God is intertwined with obedience, isn't it? The love of your spouse is intertwined with obedience. The love of your children is intertwined with obedience. The love in some way of your teacher or pastor or coach and all of those things is intertwined with obedience, if you think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 24, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. So how should you exercise your love for God? We see that in verse 7 of chapter 6. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Literally, teach them means to sharpen them. That you shall sharpen your children. In other words, hone them. Whet the edge in preparation for battle that they may be effective. Sharpen that instrument. You're to sharpen your understanding of God's Word. To develop them in every way, every situation, morning to night, whenever you are at home or away. This is an all-consuming command. It requires a heart that is totally committed in love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Devout Jews take this literally. And you see that they have a box literally tied to their forehead, that they have another box for their forearm. They bind the word on their hands and on their forehead when reciting the Shema. But it means much more than that. Obedience to God is to be part of your every action. In other words, a sign on your hand, a sign of action, of doing things. Obedience to God's commands must be on your mind always, as an emblem on your forehead. The world needs to be able to look at your life, to look at you, to look at your family and say, there's a godly house written on the doorposts of your house. And finally, written on the doorpost of your gates. Gates in this sense means the gates of the city. That the influence of the Christian community where we are, where we reside, in this area, in this region, should be so obedient and loving and intense that the entire city, the entire area is overwhelmed by your faith. These are Moses' final words to the people. This is tough stuff. WWJD, love and obey his Father. That's what Jesus would do. And so, beloved, what do you pursue? What's the pursuit of your life? Are you following God on that level? I mean, that's an intense level. That's hard to do. Are you learning more about him every day? Are you doing those things that he wants you to do, or doing those things that are convenient to you? Your love of God is going to be evident in his word and his commands and your exercise of them. Now, you're not going to be perfect. And that's the other thing here. And those are the next books to come. Because we see the people going into the promised land in the book of Joshua, and we see a total degradation of the Israelite community in the book of Judges. Like evil, nasty stuff in the book of Judges. See, you're not going to be perfect either. I'm not going to be perfect. When I tried to do that for 2 days, I was glaring my imperfection and unholiness. You will fail like the Israelites did. But here's the difference. That God is always faithful to forgive a repentant and loving heart. That is our hope. That is the grace of God that started in the book of Genesis. That is the mercy of God. That is the love of God. That we can start every day new. One with a desire to change and be more like Christ. This is total union with Christ, a relationship with the Lord. His very body and blood reflecting himself in you. That's the Pentateuch. That's Moses' last message to the people. That's the message of the gospel. Amen.